Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Time now for this month's hit list from Sauce Magazine. Joining me in studio from the magazine with Food for Thought and Thought for Food are Catherine Claney, managing editor, and Kristen Schultz, staff writer for Sauce. Thank you so much, ladies, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
It's the summer season. That's good news. Lots of good eating ahead, huh?
Lots of good eating and lots of barbecue. We've had two barbecue places that we felt were worthy of mention open up this month, as well as a brewery.
Well, those are all good things, summertime or wintertime, I might add.
It's St. Louis. It's always barbecue season.
Well, that's true. Well, let's go with the new opens. Kristen, you're going to start with Five Aces. Is that correct?
Indeed. Five Aces Barbecue opened in the Mama Josephine's space there on Shaw. And while it does have barbecue in its name, the owner has actually kept some of Mama Josephine's comfort food recipes on the menu. So there's a nice variety of really well-done options. We had the pulled pork and pulled chicken, which was a special of the day. And both the pork and the chicken were tender and flavorful. The chicken had this really lovely pink smoke ring and was almost shockingly tender. It was really well done. The flavors were a very nice balance of smoke and sweet and peppery seasonings. It was just very nice all around. And then we also had one of the Mama Josephine's staples. So we had the chicken and dumplings, and those were an office favorite. The dumplings were soft and pillowy, and the chicken was tender, and the creamy broth was really well seasoned. It was rich and peppery and savory, and was just a nice, homey dish. And so we really liked that Five Aces is doing both barbecue and comfort food, doing it well.
You know, I love the description of the biscuits and dumplings as pillowy.
Oh, they were. They were very light and lovely.
I must confess that I'm not familiar, wasn't familiar with Mama Josephine's. I guess that was kind of a country food kind of place?
She had done comfort food there for quite some time and then transitioned out, and now Five Aces is in.
And there is a breakfast menu as well as a luncheon and dinner menu, correct? No? Oh, I misread something then. I thought, because it struck me as being very unusual that would, in a place like that, that would be
happening. Believe Mama Josephine's had a breakfast menu, and I know that there was, during the transition, I know they were working on keeping that up, but I'm not sure if that's still available. I know it was at one time, I believe.
Okay, there's some reference to it on the website.
Yes.
I can tell you that, but sometimes websites aren't always right. Okay, what's next on the agenda?
Big Baby Q and Smokehouse out in Maryland Heights. This is another barbecue joint. This one is a father and son operation. Benny and Ben Welsh opened this up in May. And poultry is your go-to here. Turkey breast, we were shocked because if anybody who's had a Thanksgiving dinner knows, the turkey breast is generally the last thing you want. It's very dry. And this turkey breast is very tender, very moist, and there's a lovely pink smoke ring on it. You can always tell the sign of a good smoke when there's a pink ring around it. It means it's been sitting there and being really lovely all for hours and hours. So this was perfect even without sauce. And they make some nice sauces, but this was great even without sauce. And even after 30 minutes driving in the car back to our office, it was still good. Another winner was the half-smoked chicken. It comes as a whole half a chicken served. And was so great. You picked up that we tried to pick it up by the leg, and the leg just fell off. The bone just fell off. The meat just fell out. It was perfect. It should literally fall off the bone good. We also enjoyed, they do a house-made pastrami, which is a little unusual for a barbecue place. Usually they just stick to the smoker, but these guys also do a little bit of their own in-house meats like that. And they do a sliced pastrami that we think would go perfectly with their mustard-based Carolina Gold barbecue sauce on a sandwich. And if you're really hungry, they have a loaded smokehouse potato. It's a fluffy russet potato that they pile with basically everything that you would get in a barbecue plate just on a potato. So there's baked beans, meat, cheddar cheese, house barbecue sauce, chipotle sour cream, and then a sprinkle of barbecue dressing. They're billing it as an appetizer. That's where you'll find it on the menu, but we didn't want to share it.
Kristen is salivating while you're doing it. She was
so
mouthing
good.
To me, it is so good.
It's funny because we'll bring this food back to the office and share it on our table, and we all just kind of dive in. And it was the carnage was a little yeah. gross at the end of it. There was just food everywhere, but we were all enjoying ourselves so much. So.
Do you have any openings down there?
You're welcome to come down anytime and sample with us.
Let us know the next time you're coming back with a load of stuff like that.
There
it
you
sounds
go.
Good. Now, again, I hope my notes are right here, that they serve lunch only at this
At this, this point, yes. Yeah. I believe they were not open for dinner hours.
Or weekends, apparently.
Yes, when they first opened. I know that was important to them. Is that correct, Kristen?
Yes, that they were going to be open for lunch until they sold out, and they were hoping to...
And that's the case with a lot of barbecue joints. They'll open at lunch, and then they go until they're sold out because that meat has to be started the night before.
Sure.
So if they sell out at 4 o'clock, that's just it, even if they have dinner service.
It's sort of a risky business because if you don't sell out, you've got a lot of stuff left over.
But when you get some fans, I tell you what, when you get some loyal followers, they're very dedicated.
Well, they say something that should bring in folks. They promise an elevated experience of great hospitality.
I would agree with that. I think then, and great food as well.
All right, we've talked about the barbecue. Let's talk about the beer. I know there are some people I'm looking at in the next room who are salivating now.
Yes. Stubborn German Brewing Company has recently opened in Waterloo, Illinois, which is a small town across the river. Husband and wife team Chris and Tammy Ron opened this brewery to pay tribute to their hometown's German heritage. They renovated a building in downtown Waterloo that was actually constructed in 1885. It's been a general store, a tailor shop, a jewelry shop, and now it is going into its latest incarnation as a German-style brewery. So they do traditional German-style beers. So you're not going to find anything too crazy here, but people who like the traditional German beers are going to be in luck. Lots of classic things. Seven in the year-round portfolio. They have several seasonal options. Our picks are the Fountain Creek Kolsch, which is made with local honey, Bean Tree Coffee Stout, which is made with a local cafe's coffee beans, and a Munich Dunkel, which has a hilarious name that I don't think I can say on the air.
There's a word dark. In there.
I'm going to be careful. But my suggestion is order a flight. They have lots of great options up there, and you can get 6 4-ounce pours of any beer and just sample all of them with everyone. It's a great way to just kind of kick back and try a lot of different varieties. There is no food at this brewery, but there's lots of restaurants around town. You're welcome to bring in food, order a pizza and have it delivered, and just kick back with a couple beers.
You know, the Germans have an expression, it's Bier ist Brot, and that means beer is bread. So it is food.
There you go.
It is food.
You might, if you're going to order several flights, you might want to have some actual bread to go with that bread, but that makes sense.
You know, it strikes me as a little bit odd, given the German history in the Waterloo community. This is the first brewery to open over there
Prohibition. Yes, that's from what the owner, Chris Ron, told me. That is the first brewery to open in for a long time. And I think the craft beer movement, which has kicked up in the last 5 or 6 years, has really kind of, you know, expedited that in a lot of small towns. And now we're not just seeing them here in St. Louis, but in a lot of the surrounding communities with smaller populations are really appreciating craft beer, too.
Did I read correctly that the servers there wear lederhosen?
Oh, I don't know. When I was there, they were in T-shirts. They do have these great tap handles, which is this very cranky old curmudgeon. Who is clearly the incarnation of the stubborn old German. And he wears lederhosen, so perhaps.
All right. Well, that's certainly typical German garb. One of the questions that our staff wanted me to ask you guys before we move on to some of the other things is the attractiveness of Nashville to some of our local restaurant people. Gerard Kraft, for instance, is opening a place there. There's another outfit. Was it Sump Coffee? Is that the right? Going to open an establishment down there. Why Nashville?
I think it's a growing food community, just as ours is. And I think it depends on, you know, the businesses that are going down. Sump and Pastaria are the two that I know of that are heading down to Nashville currently. And I think, you know, it's part of any business's growth plan. We also have a couple places that are opening locations in Chicago. Soul Taco and Gorilla Street Food have both announced that. So I don't know that it's necessarily the location, although I'm sure Nashville has wonderful food, you know, wonderful food scene like us. So much as an expansion of a business plan.
And Kristen, it's testimony to the success of that these people have had here in St. Louis that they are able to move on like that.
Indeed. Anytime a business is able to expand or, you know, get into a community and expose a new community to the quality of the things that they do, and certainly Pastaria and Sump are, you know, just top-notch places. It's exciting for them, and it's exciting that we can export that to other places.
As long as they stay here as well
and
don't move out altogether.
Exactly. And I don't believe either of them have any plans to do such.
Let's talk about some other openings that we can look forward to. What's ahead? This is an active area, obviously.
Indeed. We have a lot of places that are sort of on our radar. Vista Ramen has literally just opened on Memorial Day. That is a restaurant that is owned by Chef Chris Bork, who used to work at Blood and Sand, which is a private cocktail bar here downtown, and the Mud House, which is a longtime cafe on Cherokee Street. The owners there, Jeremy and Casey Miller, opened Vista Ramen on Cherokee. They're open for dinner, and so they have three ramen bowls and then a few small plates, Asian-inspired small plates like Thai sausage and Korean fried chicken. And that's on Cherokee just off of Jefferson Street, just around the corner.
Yeah, we're hearing more about ramen these days,
it would seem.
What else? What else? Kristen, do you have something for us?
Indeed. We learned that Firecracker Pizza and Beer is scheduled to open in the Grove later this summer. And that will be Chef Will Pelly. And he has been the chef at Sugar Fire Smokehouse, Sanctuaria, and other places around town as well. He will be the chef. And the owner is Chip Schloss, and he also owns Atomic Cowboy, which is just across the street from the to open Firecracker there. And they're planning on having around 60 beer taps featuring only craft beer, so there will be quite a selection. And then the pizza is being designed to complement the beer as well. And so Chef Pelly is looking at using things like brewer's yeast or spent grains in the pizza crust itself. And he says it will be a thicker crust style pizza as opposed to some of the, you know, super thin Neapolitan style pizzas.
You think pizza and beer will actually ever catch on?
Maybe. Fingers crossed.
Such a weird pairing.
It is.
Yeah, it really is. We'll have to look into that, see if it'll work. And there's more.
Actually, keeping along with the beer train, our craft beer scene is so active here. Second Shift Brewing has announced that after a three-year search, they are moving from New Haven, which is just past Washington, Missouri, so quite a bit of a haul, to an 18,000-square-foot space on the hill. And they're slated to open in July. This is going to greatly increase Second Shift's brewing capacity. It'll have a huge tasting room and expand their packaging options as well, so they'll really be able to step up their distribution. And people can enjoy their favorites. Katie and Art of Neurosis are two of their very popular ones. And there'll also be food. I believe the Tilford brothers, who own Mission Taco and Milagro Modern Mexican, they'll be handling the menu over there. So people will actually get a chance to dine and enjoy some Second Shift on the hill.
Boy, this craft beer thing has really taken off. Really taken off.
And we're just getting started.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, we have one more. Tell us, Kristen, about Wicked Greens.
Indeed. This is coming from Chef Justin Haefley and some partners. And Chef Haefley has opened many restaurants, and he was, in fact, the chef at the Tavern. And Wicked Greens will be a fast, casual, health-focused restaurant in Clayton, and they hope to open this summer. And they're looking to serve people who don't have a lot of time but want to eat flavorful but also healthy food. So along those lines, they will offer salads and wraps and soups in a lot of different flavor inspirations. They have a Southwestern option, an Asian option, and kind of everything in between.
And we have, Kristen, we have just a few seconds left, but we have a notable closing that is happening as well.
Indeed. We found out that Lily's, there at the corner of Jefferson and Arsenal, did in fact close over the weekend. She had been in business about a year and closed for financial reasons, but she is moving on and will be doing events as an independent contractor.
Okay. Net gain, though, openings versus closing.
That's, indeed. That's very good. Very much.
I want to thank you so much, Catherine Claney, for being with us.
Absolutely.
And Kristen
thank
Schultz,
you.
Thank you. It's great to see you again. We'll look forward to it next time.
Sounds good.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at a collaborative effort by St. Louis County and the University of Missouri-St. Louis that seeks to reduce the county's jail population. We'll also talk with Adam Frick, the founder of STL Vernacular, about the St. Louis podcast scene. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.